Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. My children, 18 to 26 years of age, about the point at which children go to college. And we've had some college experience in our home, and yet, in most cases, my children are moving on to the macroeconomy without the benefit of a college degree and doing just fine. Thank you very much. Again, one of the things we try to say on this program is we don't want to violate the bounds of Christian liberty. We want to allow for maximum liberty, and people make choices as to college, as to entrepreneurship, as to getting out of the box and doing things more in a non-brick-and-mortar approach to correspondence schools and such. So there's a lot of different approaches. The best thing I would want is that those who have been stuck on one approach for the preparation of life would open up to allow for the 60 to 70 approaches for the preparation of life that are available to us today. In other words, those who say college is the only way should allow there to be more Christian liberty for the rest who are preparing in other ways. And we need to love one another. We need to respect one another. We need to uphold one another. We need to appreciate one another in the church. Our church is to represent maximum cultural diversity, whether it be how you treat college, how you treat education, how you treat food, how you treat clothing, et cetera, et cetera. There should be a fair standard deviation of variety in the church when it comes to these cultural choices. And those churches that eventually devolve into arguments over whether somebody uses essential oil, whether somebody uses midwifery versus the professional hospital system for births, or whether somebody goes to college or uses more the entrepreneurship approach. And the church breaks down over these minor cultural differences. Those churches certainly don't understand the love of God, which should enable us to love one another despite our cultural differences. They don't understand that Jesus came to bring the middle wall partition down between the Jews and Gentiles and all the other cultural groups. So it's important for us to respect the differences. But the biggest message I think we are bringing on this radio program is to maximize liberty, maximize your choices when it comes to college and the preparation for life for our young people. So that's the message I've been pounding home for a long time. And anybody who says Kevin Swanson is against college or Kevin Swanson only allows for one option, no, Kevin Swanson has been fighting to get out of the box and to allow for hundreds of different approaches to preparing our young people for life. That's what I've been pushing for the last 15 years of this radio broadcast. And I hope, Steve, that people understand that there is liberty and they're allowed liberty for various children. My children, five different approaches to the preparation for life. And some of them are going to college, some of them aren't. I'm allowing for maximum diversity in my home when it comes to this matter of preparing for life. And so if someone's saying, no, college is the only way, you are the ones that are reducing Christian liberty for the rest of us. If somebody's saying, no, college is not the way to go, we've got to all do this entrepreneurial approach to life, that again is reducing Christian liberty on the other side. So it's important for us to maximize Christian liberty, especially in these cultural choices when it comes to preparation for our children for their future ministry or work.
Yeah, and we, our family is doing the same thing. My son graduated totally through what was at one point College Plus, got his degree in BS in business administration. My oldest daughter did a combination of clepping and doing some Skyping in on college classes for her music degree. I've got a couple of kids that are doing clepping right now, but not going through anything formal. I've got one daughter who doesn't want to go to college at all, but wants to use her voice to glorify God and see what she can do with that. I mean, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
And so, we've got six kids, probably six different ways.
That's right, Steve. That's the goal of this radio program, to maximize Christian liberty for the choices our children will use in preparing themselves for their future life. But there is a crisis going on in American evangelical colleges. And this leads the crisis in American evangelicalism. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Indeed, college has been secularized. Indeed, college has been affected by this 100 billion ton zeitgeist that is rolling over us and picking our children up. And unless we're ready to take down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ, then we are not prepared. Our children are not prepared for going out into the world and interacting at the collegiate level. So let's be sure that our children are prepared for handling the war of the worldviews that is raging big time in the college sphere today. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast as we discuss once again the fate or the direction being taken by the American evangelical college scene. There is a crisis going on in American evangelicalism, and that's obvious. We've talked about the great evangelical disaster on the program, but now, what is it that leads in the crisis faced by American evangelicalism? Obviously, it's the college scene, it's the university scene, it's the seminary scene. That should be obvious. It's always been the Harvards, the Yales, and the Princetons that have led the apostasy of a nation. So that's been the way it has been for, 400 years of this nation's history. Azusa Pacific is the second largest evangelical college in America, second to Liberty. Azusa Pacific has 12,500 students on campus. Liberty has 15,000 students on campus. Azusa Pacific is the second largest evangelical college in America, so keep an eye on Azusa Pacific, definitely. They allowed for same-sex relationships on the campus, and then they didn't because the board opposed it. But now the conservative board members are resigning from the Azusa Pacific College Board. Now, this is instructive. Why? Because Azusa Pacific is representing the flagship of American evangelicalism on the college scene, and Azusa Pacific has already given in to same-sex relationships on campus, and then they sort of tweaked it where they didn't allow for it as much as they used to. But now the conservative board members are resigning, which means there is a battle going on over the heart and soul of American Christianity.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's interesting that this is going on now. They allowed for homosexual relationships or same-sex relationships as long as there was no sex outside of marriage or something like that, and that got a lot of flack. But so they've pulled back on that, and so I wonder if there's something in the works again, something that's in the behind the scenes that is causing these conservatives to resign.
Well, this is a WND article. Two members on the board of the major evangelical Christian liberal arts university have resigned, contending the institution has drifted from its foundations and mission and now at odds with its written policy, statement of faith, and the Bible itself. So that's wow. Pretty significant, yeah. I would say. The first resigner was Raleigh Washington, a prominent pastor known for his leadership of Promise Keepers, and Dave Dias, a Sacramento area business executive. They both submitted letters of resignation on Wednesday. And Washington, a trustee for 15 years, wrote that he had constantly confronted the board over the previous 6 years with abundant evidence that the administration, a substantial portion of the faculty, were promoting a progressive ideology that clashed with the institution's statement of faith and core principles. Now, of course, the real issue here is that those that teach at the college, whether it be Wheaton College, Westmont College, or anywhere else, the teachers, the instructors, tend to be more liberal than the board. And the reason for that is the board is drawn from local pastors, typically.
Right.
And the teachers are drawn from secular universities. They've received their PhDs and they have done their due obeisance to the gods of the marketplace. They have bowed at the temple of human autonomy in the public universities. They have understood that man is at the center, man is at the core, man is at the beginning, man is at the foundation of the epistemology, and that man's mind ultimately what must determine truth and must determine whether God's word is true. So again, friends, the basic philosophical position of the modern university is humanistic to the core, and those who receive their PhDs, generally speaking, not in every case, but generally speaking, have done their due obeisance to the gods of the marketplace. All right, so the former pastor of the Rock of Our Salvation Evangelical Free Church in Chicago, known for its ethnically diverse congregation, cited the biblical prophet Eli's refusal to discipline sons who committed sexual sin in the house of the Lord. All three of Eli's sons died, Washington noted, and the son born to the wife of Phinehas was named Ichabod, meaning the glory had departed from Israel. And I'm taking from that that the glory has departed from Azusa Pacific, according to this man, this guy who has resigned his position from the board of Azusa Pacific. All right, so that's the article from WND. Just a little bit more here. They quote Washington again, what happened with the student handbook. That is when they were allowing for same-sex relationships.
Yeah.
What happened with the student handbook was an indication of a bigger problem that exists in Azusa Pacific. And that problem is a theological drift from what is required of an evangelical Christian university. There's a feeling that there has been a muzzling of the voices in the community that would advocate traditional biblical understanding. We have been afraid to speak as whistleblowers, lest it redound against us personally or against our departments. This according to Barbara Nicolasi Harrington, who teaches at Azusa Pacific and so forth. So the article goes on and on and on. It says here that through certain APU courses, Azusa Pacific University courses, particularly, now listen to this, through certain APU courses, particularly in the theology departments, biblical studies department, global studies and social justice arenas, the students are exposed to radical beliefs that deride and malign traditional biblical Christianity. Students, she says, soon begin to espouse errant ideological trends that leave them isolated from the community, embittered against the Christian faith and values, and approaching the world with a raised fist and angry slogans instead of an open heart and saving truth. Okay, so that's what's going on in Azusa Pacific today, the flagship for evangelicalism in America, the leading ship, with the exception of Liberty University, and evangelicalism is coming apart at the seams, my friends. And it's interesting here, first insight, apostasy begins in the theology department.
You would think that that would be the place where the firm foundation is set.
No, 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 it's the theology department that Satan hits first. Now, I thought it would have been the literature department, and oftentimes the literature department is as bad as the theology department. But in this case, the theology department is the most dangerous department. That's where Satan shows up. He's not an idiot. No. He goes to the foundations.
Yeah.
He goes to the foundations. Remember Ken Ham's study? Ken did a study of, what, 716 Christian universities and colleges and asked them about their position on old earth, young earth creation.
Right.
And he found that twice as many of these Christian college theology department heads believed in old earth evolution versus the science department heads.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's not as if theology department heads know more about science than the science department heads. Right? I mean, yeah. Science departments, they kind of know what's going on in science. But it turns out that the liberal arts and the theology department, the religious teaching department heads, are much, much, much more likely to give way to old earth evolution than their counterparts in the science department.
That's very interesting.
And I think it's because, well, that's where the foundations lie. Because if you can corrupt the seminaries, if you can corrupt the theology department, that's where Satan goes first. And of course, it should be no surprise. Because what they're saying is you go to the philosophy department, and for a Christian college, the theology department is the philosophy department. And this is where your basic epistemology, metaphysics, ethics is worked out. And of course, ultimately, it's the autonomy of man that eventually reconstructs the epistemological foundations of these Christian colleges. Now you remember there are two forms of knowledge initially. Initially, there's divine knowledge, and the philosophy built up on human reason. So the two forms were created and distinguished by Thomas Aquinas. But inevitably in the university, which is supposed to be, you know, this philosophical knowledge built up on human reason, eventually destroys the theology department because it takes over and says, we're going to take the foundations of humanistic autonomy that we've been using in the university, and we're going to apply it to the theology department. And that's the way that the Christian university has corrupted the seminary departments over the last 500 years. And it's happened again and again and again and again. And this is how an entire nation moves all the way down the direction towards apostasy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a degree in philosophy. I have a BA in philosophy from a state school, but the philosophy department was run by Christians, and they would not allow us to flow off into the secular area. He said, I cannot by law tell you what I believe, but by the time you get done with this class, you will know. And that was very interesting. But in the Christian universities, the theology and philosophy departments are going downhill.
And how is the theology department corrupted? Here's how it's corrupted. Let me make it very, very simple. This is the way to corrupt the theology department in every Christian college in America, and this is how it's done. Listen. Man big, God small. Yeah. Man authoritative, God not important. I must increase, he must decrease. That's how it happens. My opinions will increase. God's opinions will decrease. Let's just make it simple, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very different than what John said when he said that he must increase. Christ must increase while John decreases.
Yeah. But that's what happens in the human mind.
Yeah.
And that happens to any one of us. It doesn't just happen in the epistemologically self-conscious departments of your local Christian college, my friends. No, no. You think of the example of Josiah. Josiah found the lost book of the law, and he was just crying out, oh God, what would you have me to do? He was submitting himself to the truth of God's word. And, you know, in the end, of course, Josiah did what he could to clean out the temple.
Yeah, and there was a lot in there. I was surprised. Our family's reading through 2 Kings right now, and we just did Josiah today. I was shocked at how much was in the temple. How many Asherah poles, how much Baal worship, how much all of this other stuff that had to be cleaned out inside and outside the temple, all the altars that were outside of the temple besides the brazen altar, all of that stuff. And it just creeped in over years and years and years.
Yeah, and you ask yourself, how did all that get in there? And it got in there because they refused to submit themselves to God's law. They allowed for feminism to creep into the church, and then you get your feminist pastors. They allow for fornication and convenience divorce to creep into the church, and before you know it, you've got homosexual pastors. And on and on and on it goes, my friends. And yet revival happens when there's an epistemological start in which we say, yea, hath God said? And the answer is, yes, he did, yes, and we need to submit ourselves to it. But, of course, it's the epistemological authority of God's word that's rejected, ultimately rejected by the autonomous human mind in the modern Christian colleges and universities. And this is the departure point. This is the point at which the modern colleges walk away. Man is big, God is small. Man speaks loudly, God speaks softly. And we don't submit ourselves to God's law and God's word, especially when it comes to the politically correct positions of the day.
Yeah, these theological professors are not just going and taking a bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. They are gleaning it and going over it over and over again and saying, we will determine what's good and evil, not what God says.
And of course, it's God's law that turns out to be the point of contention. People do not want to submit themselves to God's law at all because it is the ethical point at which man departs from God. He does not want to submit to God's law as a statement of right and wrong. And that's how you get social justice, feminism, and homosexuality, all related, all the ethics of the zeitgeist as set against God's law. But here's the principle. When the zeitgeist of the society has turned absolutely stark raving mad, and the emperor is really stark raving naked, the clarity with which the truth must be told has got to be stark, as sharp, as striking, as clear cut as it can be. And I think that's how we oppose this. We have to stand against it.
this zeitgeist, this society, as it embraces the madness, the ethical autonomy, the sexual anarchism that we see all around us, society has turned stark raving mad, and the emperor is really stark raving naked. And the clarity with which we must speak against this as the little guy in the crowd as the emperor passes, mm-hmm. we have to speak with a truth that is as stark, as sharp, as striking and clear cut as it can be. Douglas Wilson was blogging on the chaos of modern world and the great crazy, crazy capitulation on the part of Christian colleges. And let me read just a little bit from Blog and May Blog. This is Douglas Wilson blogging on the chaos of the modern Christian college. He says, if the material cosmos is infinitely malleable and there is no God above us, then there is absolutely no reason why we may not tinker with our arrangements of atoms and eyeshadow and jeans and genitalia, boxers and panties. He's talking about transgenderism. Mm-hmm. If we are just atoms banging our way down that great concourse of atoms, that great tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing, then of course Cole Porter nailed it. Anything goes. Cole Porter being the great playwright who was homosexual himself. Anything goes. And that is the zeitgeist of the day. Sex with robots, sex with multiple partners, female genital mutilation, trannies in the restrooms at Target, anal intercourse, oral sex hookup culture in junior highs, no-fault divorce, fruitless marriages, same-sex mirage, abortion carnage, an untouchable gay mafia in the Roman Catholic priesthood. Our cultural car is careening down the other side of a very steep mountain, and we can't do a blessed thing about it because the brakes are out. And then he talks about the evangelical Stockholm syndrome. That's where the hostages begin to agree with their captors and advocate the agenda of their captors, which has happened to evangelicalism. The evangelical Stockholm syndrome, where he says our evangelical leaders and movers and shakers and hokey pokiers have had the secularist gun pressed to their temples for so long that they have developed a kind of affinity with their captors. That is, the evangelicals always want to agree with their captors. They have started to kind of see things their way. They have felt the heat and have started to see the light. There is apparently no intention whatever of being guilty of anything like faithful martyrdom. That is, nobody wants to be martyred. Nobody wants to be Googled against. Nobody wants to be persecuted in any way, shape, or form. As they sit there with the secularist gun pressed to their temples. For an example of the most recent ongoing capitulation, consider the evangelical response to potential sexual orientation, the gender identity legislation, the lame response by the National Association of Evangelicals and the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities has been to try to work out an attempted truce. It's called Fairness for All, and it proposes to safeguard both religious liberty and LGBTQ plus rights. He says, I'm reminded of Winston Churchill's definition of an appeaser as one who throws others to the crocodile in a bid to be the last one eaten. Why is this kind of thing even a possibility? There are two basic reasons, the first practical and second theological. The practical reason for the capitulation of the Christian colleges is that conservative donors have not yet caught on to the scam being run on them by ostensibly conservative colleges. The colleges will talk a big resistance game when hitting up the donors, while at the same time, behind closed doors, they'll be trying to cut a deal with the Solons of Sodom. So keep your eyes on the actions of CCCU in the months to come as they finalize their Fairness for All capitulation. They're buckling their surrender, the complete transformation into craven and crawling colleges and universities that donors should really move into their best, not one thin dime mode. In other words, donors should not give a thin dime to the Christian colleges anymore. All right, so on and on it goes. He says the only way out of this is repentance and deliverance at this point, which is radical. There has to be a radical repentance and, of course, a deliverance that can only come by the intervention of Christ. Well, friends, as we wrap up this program, what do we say about all of this? Two things. Number one, think out of the box. You don't have to spend $35,000 per year for a kid's college education when there are many other options as well, especially if it is an education built on sinking sand or epistemological foundations that compromise most basically the authority of the Word of God speaking to every part of life. Secondly, be sure that your kids are ready to fight, and they have to fight much harder at Christian colleges than at secular colleges. You know, I was in Cal Poly in 1986. I was student body president, and I vetoed the same safe sex, have sex with whatever campaign at the university as one of the last things I did. And they could not, the student senate could not overcome my veto by a single vote. And it wasn't just on homosexuality. It was standing against public promotion of promiscuity. The president of the university was Catholic, and he called me into his office and he said, Kevin, I'm going to go with what you say on this veto, because he knew I was about to veto this safe sex kind of a promotion that the Student Senate had advocated. But the Student Senate could not overcome my veto by one vote. And of course, I took persecutions for it. I'm not the only person, though, that has gone through the kinds of persecution you get when you stand up alone against this. Now, the Christian clubs on campus, the Christians on campus, not one Christian that I can think of supported me in anything I did on that campus. Especially when I vetoed this particular safe sex kind of a resolution or initiative. And yet you have to be willing to stand alone. And there's another example of one who stood alone, Isabella Chow.
Yes.
Just speak to her just briefly before we quit.
Yeah, she graduated through speech and debate, was a champion apologetics competitor at the national level. She's going to California Berkeley right now, and a bill came up. She's on the Senate. She's a junior in the Senate. And they were wanting to – it was a bill talking about how we don't want to discriminate, we don't want to bash, we don't want to do all of this stuff. But it also went on to want to support organizations and promote LGBT organizations. So she chose – she said there are parts of this about bashing and things like that that she agreed with, but she did not agree with backing LGBT agenda and organizations. So she chose to abstain from the vote. She didn't vote at all, but now she's getting 1,000 people signing a petition to have her resign from the Senate. She's being compared to the KKK, to Nazis, to all kinds of things because she stood up and just said, I'm not going to vote on this. So
and some 1,000 people have called for her resignation. Same thing happened to me when I was president at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in 1986-87. I had a couple hundred sign a petition for my resignation as well. But friends, kudos to Isabella Chow, who continues the great legacy of Christians standing in the gap and standing against the horrible things that go on in these campuses today. The same thing should be happening on Christian campuses. If you're willing to be stoned, if you're willing to be burned alive on the campus for your Christian position and your Christian faith, go for it. Take the stand, be ready to fight and take down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. These are your marching orders, young people, and be prepared to continue on with the legacy of those who have gone before you, other homeschoolers, Kevin Swanson, Isabel Shao, who have entered into the college scene and took that stand. So continue that legacy. But my friends, if you're there to capitulate to the humanism of the day, the autonomy of the day, if you're kids aren't ready to take the stand, then stay out of it. That's my advice on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. To prepare yourself for this stand, I'd encourage you to our course, our 12th grade course called Worldviews in Conflict, based on the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. That Worldviews in Conflict is a 600-page textbook with a teacher guide and workbook available at our website for 11th, 12th grade students to prepare them for the engaging of the War of the Worldviews out there. So get a copy of Worldviews in Conflict with a teacher guide at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.